the Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 20th of May. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Oh, it's hot in here, isn't it?
It is, certainly.
So it makes you want to get your Speedos off, almost.
Yeah. I think you look becoming in micro Speedos, though.
But I love that
look. They go with your hair.
They do. Oh, do you like my hair?
I do like your hair. Who did that?
Well, it's lovely Mariano.
Mariano Ruiz.
Flo and Co.
Well done.
Whitstable, just on the horse bridge.
Nice one.
Couple of inches
can
chopped
do the rest
off.
Of you?
Couple of inches. I find it amazing, Paul Andrews.
No, no,
Do you not find?
No.
I find. Gives me a little spring in my step.
I'm sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who's the sponsor today?
I don't know. You tell us.
I think it's Fruit Bowl Media.
Is it?
So a warm welcome to Fruit Bowl Media and the boys there. I hope you're having it. I bet they're hot, don't you?
You tell me.
Well, I think they're pretty hot when I last
saw them. She thinks you're hot, guys.
They always have fruit. Have you noticed on the table? A little selection.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, love that.
I don't know why.
Do you know, I can't even see your face, Paul.
I know, that's lucky, isn't it?
Because I've got the lovely Richard, Richard Torval, who's our guest. Mm. He's a photographer, you know.
Is he?
You know, he did Chris Connect's new picture.
I saw that.
New profile
Chris
picture.
Chris is quite pleased with it, isn't he?
Very
He's gone off on one about that big time.
He's very
pleased with it, yeah.
Very debonair.
It does look good.
It does.
It knocks years off him.
Oh, but he's younger than you, isn't he?
No.
I think he is.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
No.
But he's brought me in, Richard's brought me in a lovely Machio Prosecco Treviso Brut.
And it was timely because she'd just finished her last bottle.
Well, I had on the Scoff and Quaff show, we were wine tasting. If you want to hear, listener, it's Scoff and Quaff, it's a superior show, 11 to 12 on Channel Radio. And we had Colin on wine on the Twitter, and he's a monthly regular, and he's telling us all about Rioja and Cava and sparkling Spanish wines.
Good. Anyway,
shame your teetotal.
Yeah, enough of that nonsense and that rubbishy show earlier.
Yes.
You're now on the Business Bunker Show, and we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get into contact with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we've already had more than 50 tweets in, so we will start reading those in a moment. And we'll also read some emails, I think. Jules.
We would like to invite you to the first meetup in Whitstable. And this is at the monthly, their monthly meetings at the Horsebridge Centre. It's Friday the 30th of May, 9:30 to 12:30 in Horsebridge Road, Whitstable, just near Mariano and Flo and Co.
It is indeed.
They could trot there and have
You could have your hair done as well.
They could have a few inches off, first of all, and then see what a difference that makes. So you have Liz Deneau and Zoe Cloak will update them on the future of the Horsebridge Centre. There'll be a card swap and one-to-one chats between attendees randomly linked in pairs.
Ooh, randomly linking.
Yes.
Ooh.
Bit of swapping going on there.
Ooh.
There's a
it all happens in Whitstable, doesn't it?
It does. It's the gay capital, you know, as well.
I don't need to know that. Carry on.
Artist Triona Holden will present her work. She's fabulous. And then there'll be a full circle. Sounds like they're going to join hands there.
See if they can contact their living.
And then there's a close at 12:30. If you want to know more, please email natalie@kentcreativearts.co.uk. That's Natalie.
Oh, that's to you. Natalie Beneg.
Yes, Natalie. Also, there is, we've got lots of networking. I'm going to swap to something else. Invitation to the Thames Gateway Kent Partnership. This is a business breakfast, 17th of June. So this is a diary date. It's hosted by Chairman Rob Bennett. And you'll be sharing news and info about opportunities and challenges facing businesses in North Kent today. And you'll hear updates from the partnership on what is happening at local and regional level to support business growth and about key proposals such as Ebbsfleet Garden City. I want to go there. And Paramount Leisure
Resort.
We'd
like you to go there.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Far enough away.
Anytime now.
Do they have Prosecco bars?
Quite possibly.
So they'll be publishing the 2014 growth plan summary at this event. And you can also hear, of course, about the Tiger Fund, the 0% interest loan scheme, which we've featured quite a few times now on the Business Bunker.
We have indeed, yeah.
You can hear about some of the successful applicants and how the fund has helped their business. Now, what do you need to do? The venue is at Bridgewood Manor Hotel, and that's in Walderslade Woods, Chatham. Can't be in the middle of a wood, can
it? It's at the top of Bluebell Hill, actually.
Okay. Yep. To be avoided if there's ice, that hill.
Yeah, it doesn't tend to get that icy in June.
Arrive, depends if you want your Prosecco cold. 7:30 arrive for registration. There's breakfast and networking. And then it closes around, it doesn't say, but at 10:30 a.m. there's opportunities, networking opportunities. You need to email info@thamesgateway-kent.org.uk with the to find out more and to register that you want to go.
Fabulous. Thank you, Jules. We've had some tweets, and we've had quite a few tweets, so I better start reading some of them. We had a tweet from Lucy Hall of Inside Maidstone magazine, and we saw Lucy last night, didn't we, Richard? We went to her Creative Maidstone event, which was very good.
We did.
And also, Hot Face Sauces, who happened to be there last night and gave us the opportunity to sample some of their fabulous chilli sauce.
Oh, what was it like?
I didn't sample any yesterday at the event, but I did try some when I got home, and double thumbs up.
Right.
Why did you wait till you got home?
I was a bit intimidated by the potential hotness.
Really?
And something that happens to me quite regularly.
What did you dip into the sauce?
Just chips.
Nothing. Did you rustle up chips when you got home?
They were already rustled up for me when I got in.
Really? Yeah, pre-rustled chips. Yeah, pre-rustled. And I have to say, hot face sauce is gorgeous.
Boy.
Yeah.
What did you dip in yours, Paul Andrews?
Well, they had a bit of a competition, didn't they, Richard?
They did.
They laid out 10 sauces, and they gave us the names of the sauces, and we had to match the name with the taste. And I sadly came second with 7 out of 10.
Second?
Hmm.
Oh, that's not like you, because you're usually a winner, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who won?
It was Brit, wasn't it? It was Brit.
Oh,
she
lovely
who bakes.
Brit.
Yeah.
With the hair.
Yeah.
She's got that wild hair, isn't she?
Red hair, yes.
Yeah.
Bright
I
red.
Thought it was Jonathan Ross's
Yeah,
wife.
No, because Brett actually did a talk at the event last night, and that was very inspirational too. But the sauces were absolutely gorgeous, and they had Scorpion Killer Sauce, which was the star of the show, and I actually came away with a bottle of that.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. You'll be having that on your lettuce tonight, then.
I will certainly have it smeared all over my lettuce.
I've just remembered something amiss. Something amiss, darling.
Yes.
We didn't really introduce our guests properly, did we?
I haven't yet.
Them. In the studio today, we have the fabulous Richard Torball, and you can follow him at R Torball Photos. And we also have Kirstine Allen, and you can follow them, the girls, with Andrea Starbuck on at 10, T-E-N, 2 number, and then T-O-O, Kent. What's that at the end?
A or K?
Kent A.
Kent A is Andrea, and Kent K is Kirstine.
Oh,
come on, you can't
get the
star.
I thought they'd gone all cosmopolitan, the Kenta. Because I'm on Prosecco.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, great, and really looking forward to hearing what they've got to say later on.
We are indeed, and they will be participating in the show right the way through. And
Twitter's very busy.
To have them here. Yeah. Got some more tweets. The Clothes Lady has tweeted in saying she's listening in. You can follow her on the Twitter at The Clothes Lady. And whilst we're talking about clothes, and don't even start with this, Rogers Menswear.
Whitstable, isn't that?
Herne Bay.
Oh, Hernia Bay, okay.
Yeah, has said, looking forward to the Business Bunker on this lovely Tuesday. So thank you to all the people over there at Rogers Menswear.
You see, they could fit you up with some lovely culottes, couldn't they, or something?
I need culottes for what reason?
Well, when you go hiking round your mansion.
Is that right?
Yeah, when you go boating in your lake. I've read all about it.
Why would I wear culottes when I've got the rowing boat out on my lake?
Because the last time you went in your rowing boat, according to your at Snakehips Twitter handle, which is at...
Which has nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Snakehips, if you're following, listener. When you went in your little boat boating, you got moss on your lovely white trousers, your boating trousers.
Did I?
Yes, I think culottes, perhaps. Could be more rustic.
We'll completely skate over how I got moss on my trousers in the middle of a boating lake, but never mind. Anyway, back to reality. Alan Hayes of Alan Talking True... That's TRU, Alan Talking True. They're a removals company from Kent. He's also listening to the Business Bunker show. So
good morning.
Welcome to
good
all
afternoon.
Of you. As is Alex Waterton of F Keys, the Microsoft Trainers. And also, I've got a new listener.
Really?
Yeah. Hello. This is Pittman Dover.
That's hello.
Pittman Training in Dover. And it's Paula, who's the owner over there, and she says, we're in the training centre listening to the Business Bunker, looking out over the English Channel.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mm.
Maybe a little bottle of something about to be uncorked.
Do you think so?
Maybe, possibly. Well, if you're looking over the English Channel...
Is that what you do?
There's no better...
You go, blimey, see, better open a bottle.
There's no better time, Paul Andrews.
Ah, right. What you mean when there's a minute in the day?
There's a networking breakfast with business. This includes a full English. And this is with the Kent Invicta Chamber. The next one is Thursday the 29th of May at Dartford Football Club. And then also Thursday the 19th of June, Holiday Inn, Rochester. It's £15 for chamber members and plus VAT. Non-members are £20 plus VAT.
Cool. We had an email from Karen at Breathe Insure.
Oh.
Just reminding us that Breathe Insure are specialists in commercial insurance. And if we'd like to get hold of them, we can indeed. And we can follow Karen Thomas, on the Twitter at Breathe Insure. So do that. And we've also had Mark. Young Mark, do that.
Which young Mark?
Young Mark
Smith?
Young Mark Smithy.
Oh, we haven't heard from him for quite a while.
Smithy the boy.
Perking up again as summer comes, have you noticed?
Yeah. And he's tweeted in from the Whitstable Stove Shop. And he says, tune in, it's the Business Bunker. We're all having a listen.
Well, now is the time to get your stove ordered.
It is. Now is a very good time to buy a wood-burning stove, which is what they purvey.
Because what most people do is they get shivery around November and wish they'd done it, don't they?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. I was just waiting for that.
I get shivery.
Now is a good time to buy a wood-burning stove because, obviously, in the summer, they are not in such great demand. You can get them slightly cheaper and there's more time to have them fitted.
Exactly.
If you wait until the weather turns cold, it gets sticky.
And you're on a waiting list.
Exactly.
And you probably find a dead bird down your chimney and all that sort of stuff. Dear Paul, with no mention of me...
Good. I'm liking this.
Writing content for your website about yourself and your work, CV, artist statement, biography, your portfolio, and writing about your work for exhibitions or brochures with Alexandra Campbell. A good website is essential if you want people to find you, and online art sales are rising 20% each year. And this is a report by Art Tactic and Hiscox. Now, Hiscox would be a good friend of Snake Hips, wouldn't he? Hiscox. So, the quality of the image and the information written...
I'm not talking to her anymore. I'm going to talk to you guys. Do you know, I think they collude on this. I think they send these emails in specifically for her to get carried away with stuff like this. Don't even
Who
go
was
there.
That sent me that genital gel? I never really got that present.
That was Sam Good.
Yeah, I never really got that present.
No.
Anyway, so Art Tactic and Hiscox, who's a good friend of Snake Hips, said that the quality of the image... Can you imagine someone tuning in for the first time wouldn't get all these things? The quality...
What's the first time got to do with it? There's some people that have been listening for the entire 5 years that don't know what the hell we're going on about. So.
The quality of the image and the information written on the website were the two most important factors for people buying art online. So if you'd like to find out more about this, you need to go to Preston Street in Faversham at the Alexander Centre, Friday 23rd of May, so that's this Friday, 9:30 to 12:30, members 38.40, non-member 48. And please look on the website, which is www.kentcreativelive.org. And again, that's from Nathalie.
Cool. We've had a tweet from the Vinorium.
Oh, what's that?
The Vinorium. They say, we're tuning into the Business Bunker today while having a little drinky-poo in the garden.
But what are they drinking?
They've got a picture. They've put a picture of it up, but ooh. I can't really describe it because it's just a picture. But they say, we're looking forward to July the 15th because on July the 15th, they're coming on the Business Bunker show.
I can't wait that long.
Because there are a bunch of people that are going to tell us about wine investing.
I say...
Yeah.
Well, they need to...
Not drinking. You can't drink it.
I know.
It's investing it.
You lock it up for months, don't you?
Years,
at
darling.
At least
a
week.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? If Jules was given a bottle of wine and said, you can't drink that for 4 years, she'd just melt into a dribbly little mound, wouldn't
I'll
she?
I'll tell you something of interest, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, go on.
When I was at Squirrie's for the afternoon tea, where we had a lovely time, didn't we? We had a fabulous time. I was given a beautiful bottle of their English sparkling, which was unlabeled. And I've kept that, Paul Andrews, on the side for my birthday, which is next Monday, 26 at 9 a.m. all day.
Hold on, hold on. There was a lot of information in there. Your birthday's next Monday at 9 a.m.
Yes, it starts at 9 a.m.
It doesn't start before 9 a.m.
No,
your birthday
I won't be
starts
up.
At 9 a.m. And that is some kind of coded message that says I expect breakfast delivered at 9 a.m. Gav, I think she wants breakfast in bed, mate. 9 a.m.
No, he's still writing his book. That's the trouble.
Just a tip. Well, I'm not doing it.
Well, someone's got to.
Gav, she wants breakfast in bed, mate.
Little scrambled egg, you know, mm-hmm. Little smoked salmon. So I've kept my bottle from Squeery's.
Have you?
But I did have another bottle when I was there. So
what a surprise.
Or two.
Kel surprise. Mm. Hey, look, do you know?
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit of tunage.
What have you got for me?
Well, I thought this was quite funny because our next guest.
My old man's a dustman.
Our next guest is a photographer.
All right.
So I thought.
Ah, Queen! Bit of. Flash!
Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, a bit of Queen there, a bit of Flash, Flash Gordon. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show our guest, our first guest for today.
Bless you all.
Mr. Richard Talbot.
He's a Pope as well.
Yeah, Mr. Richard Talbot. Richard, welcome to the Business Bunker show.
Good afternoon.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Richard's a bit of a photographer.
A little bit.
A little bit, hence the flash.
I appreciated that.
Did you?
I did.
Most people get really annoyed when we do things like that.
Well, I did, but I'm polite.
But you're a well-brung up young man.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Jules made reference earlier to Mr. Chris Pollard, who's one of our regular listeners.
Admirers.
Yeah. Now, he's one of our regular listeners, and you've recently done a portrait for him for his Twitter account, and amongst other things.
This is true.
And he's got he's very pleased with it. He's been pushing it everywhere. So
he was in the studio last week.
You took some photos of me as well.
I did.
Yes. You made me squint.
I did. I did.
That was interesting.
Have you been doing it since?
Yeah, I have been walking around, especially with ladies, and walking up to them and squinting at them.
Has it been working?
No. No, I've been punched a lot.
Practice makes perfect. Smize.
Yeah. Anyway, you're a headshot specialist.
I am.
And I thought that meant you followed snipers around.
It does.
Taking yes. photographs of the aftermath.
Yes. Yeah. The reality is it a hit or not? Yeah.
Anyway, enough talking, Michael. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do it and the kind of things that you're involved in, Richard.
You're right, Paul, insofar as I am a headshot photographer. That's my niche. That's my day-to-day bread and butter. I work mainly with local businesses in Kent, actors, actresses, that sort of stuff.
Whereabouts are you based?
I live in Faversham.
Right.
Okay, so I'm based out of Faversham. I now collaborate with another photographer in Faversham, so we have a studio in Faversham, which Chris came to last week, and other people come to, of course. And, yeah, that's mainly what I do. I do a little bit of editorial portrait work, like you mentioned. I came to see you a couple of weeks ago for Inside Maidstone magazine. And that's mainly what I teach workshops as well. I teach portrait photography workshops.
Yeah, I saw you've got a workshop coming up soon, haven't you?
I have one on Saturday in Canterbury with Creative Places. So you can check that out at creativeplaces.org.
Whereabouts in Canterbury?
It's just going to be in Canterbury city centre.
What, in the street?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
It's aimed really at people who recently purchased a camera, don't really know how to use it, stuck on auto mode, but they wanted to learn how to use it without having to photograph flowers and sunsets and that sort of stuff.
Right.
And they have more of an interest in people. So it's getting out of auto and then understanding the intricacies of portrait photography.
You see, because photography is a big deal these days because we can all do it all the time. And I was saying to somebody the other day, it's really quite amazing. We all basically carry a camera around with us now on a phone.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I've got less and less photographs than when it was difficult to get photographs, if you see what I mean. I mean, I've got millions of them on my camera. I've got millions of them on my PC. You never look at them again. And it's not, you know, years ago, you used to take photographs, get the film developed, and lovingly put the ones that were half reasonable in an album. And then you'd all sit around on a Sunday afternoon and look at them. Now you take a gazillion photographs, shove them on a PC somewhere and never look at them again. Or if you're Jules, you tweet them with silly comments on them, all over the place. But the interesting thing is, from doing workshops, that gives you an awful lot of, I was going to say problem, but I guess opportunity as well. Because people have cameras on them all the time, there must be a big opportunity for people using things like smartphones better as well when they're taking pictures.
There is, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the gear is not the most important element of the end result. You know, if you're a professional and you have paying clients come into your studio, they're going to expect you to have a certain level of equipment,
of course.
Obviously. But if you're looking to photograph friends and family on a day out, you know, similar to that, then it's much, much more about understanding the interaction with the people that you're photographing, assessing available light, especially if you're out in a bright sunny day like we have today. That's far, far, far more important than the quality of the equipment that you have.
Okay. So in your business as a headshot professional, I mean, what are the kind of things that you're called on most to do?
You're looking really for professional level imagery that you can use on your website,
right?
For LinkedIn, for Facebook, for Twitter, those kinds of things.
So for business people, their profile pictures on various social media outlets, and also obviously websites and things like that. Because I one of the first things I do when I look at a corporate website is I always look to see if they've got a section that says meet the team.
Absolutely.
And I want to see pictures of people.
Not only do you want to see pictures, but you want to see pictures that are a strong representation of that business. Which is why it's vital to do it.
I've been on that dating site.
I'm thinking of having that as a particular product they offer.
Well, a dating site
photo.
Yeah. The trouble is getting people to admit to want to have photos that were taken in the same century that they're kind of putting them up, basically.
I'm a bit concerned at the type of inquiries that I might get.
Well, Paul Andrews' photo was taken in the days when you had a little, you know, put something over your head and you had a little pinhole camera.
Yeah, we can change that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ignore her completely.
What's new?
So that's the kind of work that you're involved most in doing. Tell us a little bit about because it strikes me that there's not a lot of leeway to display your creativity with it, because you're doing headshots, you know, so it's not as if you got, you know, you're going to get the Eiffel Tower in the background or, you know, something like that. So it must put an awful amount of creativity onto what you're trying to do to make the photographs stand out in some way.
Yeah, you're right. It is usually a plain white background. Mm. It's head and shoulders. Mm. The important part is the expression. It's all in the expression.
How important is it for the photo to be black and white or colour? Because more corporate shots are now black and white, aren't they? And I think they do look softer somehow.
More arty.
Yeah.
It used to be only black and white because colour, in film days, because colour was more expensive. Now, of course, it doesn't make any difference. I don't think it really makes a difference whether it's colour or black and white. I'd say 99% of the work I do is colour.
Right.
But obviously with modern software and everything, it's very easy to then put it in black and white.
I think there's a lot to be said for, especially on Twitter, a good, strong red. Or, you know, on mine, I've just changed my press up to red. And Jo Dodds noticed it, who is the queen of Twitter, Jo Dodds.
She's also the queen of red.
She, yeah. I think red really stands out on Twitter.
Mm. The key, it comes back to what I was saying about expression. It's all in the expression. Being photographed in a professional environment, not by your iPhone, but in a professional environment, is an unusual experience. People don't really know how to behave in that kind of environment.
Yeah, sure.
Which is why most people, unless they've been programmed and coached, they usually end up looking like they've just sat on something sharp. So it's my job,
which
to,
could work for some people.
If that's the kind of thing, if you sit on a sharp thing,
that was the look I was going for. Surprised indignation.
That's a good, yeah. Shame that we haven't got video. That was a great expression.
But there's a real art in relaxing your subject, isn't there, Richard?
There is, and that comes back to what Paul was saying about the creativity element of it, because you don't have a background really, it's the same. You don't have any real creativity with regards to composition. The creativity comes from deprogramming people to bring out an expression that best shows their businesses in the way that they want to.
So can you give us some pointers for that? I know when you did my photographs for the magazine, we were talking about eye muscles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was a fascinating subject, albeit that I couldn't manage to do it properly. But
you had a fair crack at the whip.
I did have a good go at it.
You had a good go.
I winked at you for about an hour, didn't I? Basically, from both eyes. One at a time, both together, all kinds. But it fascinated me because that kind of information is what I find useful. Mm. And you made a very, very interesting point about people that are used to being photographed and photographed well, who have a natural ability to turn on a pose without even thinking about it.
Yeah, Brad Pitt never gets caught out.
Yeah. No, he doesn't, does he?
Yeah.
No.
It's an instantaneous reaction.
Mm. And do you think he learned that, or is that just genuinely natural? He's, you know, that's just his natural look that makes him look good.
He's practiced.
It's practice, yeah. Right, if you look at photographs of Brad Pitt, and obviously you're online now, it's easy to find, before he was famous, the difference is startling.
Mm. Right, okay.
He did look like he's just sat on something sharp. But now, you know, he for the last 20 years or however long his career has been going for, every single time a camera is pointed at his face, we're not talking about paparazzi stuff, we're talking about,
you know,
every time a camera is pointed at his face, he just switches it on.
Right.
Now, because he's been programmed, he's been coached to show a particular, and it doesn't matter where he is, he's pretty much got the same look.
Right.
You know, he's got those eyes, you know.
But it's like the kids today. The kids that I knock around with, my 18-year-old...
The kids that I knock around with,
my 28-year-old... They know
how... Because she's a funky mummy.
They know exactly how to take a selfie. Was it Rebecca Robertson we had on recently? She taught me how to do a selfie. I didn't know how to do it. You know, you look up and you look slightly to the right or something. And my son Josh does that. He knows exactly. He gets a little profile, and the kids have got it to a T.
I think that's a really good step in the right direction. That's a really good step in the right direction. But it takes a little bit of time to really deprogram people to really bring that out of them.
Okay. It takes someone like you, Richard.
It does take someone like
you. Yeah, absolutely.
I do say that. you know, the pressing of the shutter is a tiny part of what I do. It's not about the gear, it's not about the camera, it's not about the lights, it's all about the expression, it's all about the interaction that you have with that subject.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question now, and it may be an invalid question because it may be already part
probably
of
will day. Be
yeah but that kind of information, have you ever thought about doing workshops for that kind of thing to teach people how to be photographed?
My workshops at the moment are more kind of introduction to portrait photography workshops.
Right.
There's certainly an opportunity for, you know, intermediate and advanced level stuff down the line where that stuff can be taught, absolutely.
Because it's interesting, in the corporate world, in the business world, nowadays, more and more people, as you say, they're not paparazzi shots per se, but you get photographed all the time. I mean, I do loads and loads of things, as you know, and I speak at loads and loads of events, and people post pictures of me all over the place, and I think, Oh God!
Yeah, me too. Don't get my nose.
What was
nose,
I even doing then? You know, and so, you know, it could pay people to actually learn how to pose for photographs when they're out and about.
Absolutely. Once you learn it, once you've got a good handle on how to react, then yeah, you can take that with you for the rest of your life. Absolutely.
No, I think that's really interesting. Yeah, Andrea.
You could be permanently twitching, though, couldn't you? Looking to your right, your left, up and down, not knowing what...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got to have some kind of semblance of normality about you as well. But I just think it's interesting. You know, quite often I'm standing on stage and someone will walk up to me with a camera and go, "Can I have a picture?" If you could...
So hard being famous, isn't it, Paul Andrews?
Shut up. If you could strike a reasonable pose, and I'm not talking about over-posing or anything but just so you don't look like a dork every time somebody takes a photograph of you, that would be useful.
If you can and avoid
that. Yeah, go on, just...
Sorry, one more thing. My problem is the thumb, which is the arm thigh.
Oh, yeah.
You have to protrude your arm forward towards the camera so it doesn't look like you've got a leg stuck on the top of your
You see, you've
shoulder.
Done your homework, darling.
I have. The thumb is my biggest issue.
I've only just realised about that. Too late.
So
too
come late. On, explain this to us, Richard. What are they talking about?
Top of the arm.
You've got to be very, very careful about random things protruding from random places.
Right, okay.
A couple of inches, Paul Anders, can make all the difference, as I told you.
Who set her up for that? Go on. Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah. She's off the cuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody did show me a really funny photograph.
You probably need to roll your cuffs down.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not going to explain any further.
Carry on.
Yeah.
You know, we miss the details sometimes. We don't notice until, you notice that there's a fence post coming out of someone's head.
Yeah, sure.
Now, this isn't a good thing, generally.
Cool. So, from your point of view, what makes a good subject, what makes a poor subject, and what makes a good photograph and what makes a poor photograph?
As a photographer, you have to take responsibility for the end result.
Right.
It's not about whether they're a good subject or a bad subject. You know, anyone can come into the studio and they could end up with great images if the photographer takes responsibility for the end result.
Right.
If they focus on the coaching, focus on the deprogramming of people's normal kind of nervousness that people bring into the studio, which is 100% understandable. 99.9% of people that come into the studio initially are nervous.
Can I just ask you a question? Sorry to interrupt. But this interests me as well, is some of the better photographs that I've got of me, for instance, were taken
25 years ago.
Well, of course they were, but without me knowing, and just, you know, natural type of photographs. Because one of the problems is, as someone who isn't famous and who isn't used to being photographed that much, if somebody says, "Can I take a picture?" you instantly pose, and that always looks, you know, weird.
It does look weird. The key is, I'm going to give away some of my secret
tips.
Top tip here.
Top tip number one. When I'm with a subject or a victim, what I'm trying to achieve is I'm trying to get them to forget that there's a camera in front of them.
Right.
So with the coaching, and pretty much most of the time, all we're doing is, it feels like we're just shooting the breeze, we're just having a conversation. Right. But what I'm trying to achieve is to get them to forget that there's a camera in front of them. So they're focusing on answering the questions that I'm talking to them about.
Right.
You know, what did you do last night? You know, what do you think about the new Manchester United manager? All that kind of stuff. You know, then they're forgetting the fact that I'm actually still photographing them.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite important.
Mm.
Do you have things like music and tools to loosen up people?
Bit of prosecco. We do a bit of prosecco. Yeah. we don't. It's not like we don't allow alcohol in the studio. I've never thought about it, but we do tend to have a Spotify playlist or something running in the background. Yeah. Mm. We tend, because of Spotify, so flexible. We can ask people, "What's your favourite type of music?" Because if you're really into hip hop, I'm not going to play classical and vice versa. Mm.
Sure. So music is a great relaxer.
It makes a big difference. Mm. It works quite well for me as well. You know, it kind of chills me out a little bit. We always have music playing.
Cool. Fascinating subject, Richard. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a shout again. Remind people about the workshop you've got coming up, and then tell us how people can find you on the web, on Twitter, on Facebook, and all those other places.
I'll try and keep this condensed. I've got a workshop coming up on Saturday in Canterbury at 10 a.m. It includes lunch. That's with Creative Places. You can find out more information at creativeplaces.org.
How much is that? Roughly?
It's £60, okay. I believe.
Good.
Including lunch. Okay.
Yeah, in Canterbury. I have another workshop coming up in a few weeks with Creek Creative, which is a gallery in Faversham.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's actually an extended workshop. That's a 6-week workshop with a exhibition of the work at the end in the gallery, which is pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that. So Creek Creative online, you can find out more information. There's a phone number you can ring to book. That's a similar price as well. And then in July, we're talking about Natalie at Kent Creative Arts. Shout out to Natalie because she's awesome. I have a street photography workshop again in Canterbury in July. You can find that at kentcreativearts.org.
And all details will be on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
They
if
will
not
indeed.
Already.
And some of them are on already.
You can follow Richard on rtorblephoto as well on the Twitter. And his website is richardtorble.com.
Fabulous. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Function.
Thank you for having me on.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Richard Torble, headshot photographer extraordinaire, thank you for joining us.
No problem, thank you.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Miriam McGurk, who's stuck up a mountain, but she's actually got internet access and she's able to listen in.
And she's invited
over
us.
Over there in Turkey.
She's got the cabin ready after watching the video where we said we were going to go and stay with
her. I thought we weren't going to talk about that video.
Part two, apparently, we invited ourselves.
Did we? I thought we weren't going to mention part one or part two of that video.
We have to. It's had lots of looks now.
Lots of looks.
what are they called?
I've no idea.
Views. Likes.
Yeah.
Anyway, why can't it be looks?
Yeah, I suppose it could.
Could be. You're just being facetious.
Anyway, it's lovely to hear from Miriam. We've also had a tweet from ITL, Int Tech Limited, they are known as on the Twitter, INTTECHLTD, ITL. Hello, Vanilla Web. We've got a new video on our website. I wonder if all the bunkerers might take a look at it. And you can find it at their website, which is itl.co.uk. That's itl.co.uk. Apparently, they got a fab new video. I hope it's not me and you.
I hope not. But, you know, we were invited to go there. And as I said, there could be another book there, How to Get Rid of Your Guests, I reckon, if we go to stay in her little cabin. She's got a cabin up there. And Chris Connect, the debonair, is saying that when he was with Richard, he listened to Elton John.
We did, and
there was no Prosecco available. That's because I wasn't invited. I would have bought
Who was that? Who's that from?
Chris.
Oh, Chris.
Chris Pollard.
Chris Pollard.
Chris Connect It.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Laura Lawrence who says she's listening in and looking forward to hearing from the ladies. And Alex Waterton has tweeted in, as has Hot Face Sauces.
Ah, listening.
Hello, Erica. Thank you for tweeting in. We did mention your sauces earlier at the top of the show.
They'll have to come on the Superior Show, Scott and
Quarth. Well, I'm surprised they've not been on your radar so far, but we will get them to come and come on the Scoff and Quaff show, I think.
I should snaffle them from you.
Absolutely.
Got a little workshop here. It's the Kent Business Tweet Up. You can follow them at Kent Tweet Ups. The website is www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. The next event, which is in Canterbury, is the 29th of May. It's 10 a.m. at Lenley's. You can follow at Lenley's. And it's a little presentation by Stuart Carpenter on LinkedIn and how LinkedIn can help your business. It's free. And as you know, Ken Lloyd and I are stepping down from the running of it, but we're still very much involved. So I'll be doing the Twitter, but the website and the MailChimp have been passed over to some bright young whippersnappers who will be telling you all about it.
Wow.
People with more energy than me.
That's not difficult. We've had a tweet from Phil Reynolds, who is known on the Twitter as Phil Reeves Co. And he's from Reeves & Co, the Kent-based accountancy firm. And he says, hi, Vanilla Webb and the Business Bunker team. Could you mention a free seminar on the pension budget revolution being hosted by Reeves & Co? And please give us a mention. You can find out about that by following them on the Twitter at Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S-A-N-D-C-O, Reeves & Co, on the Twitter. Do have a follow. He has given me a link to a website about that event, so I will put that link on the Kent Business Radio website along with everything else on today's show, which is show number 174. So do look out for that if you want to find out more about that from there. I've had an email here from the Wealden Business Group.
Oh, hello, Wealden.
And they said the Wealden Business Group have elected a new chairman, one Mr. Simon Hammond. I know Simon.
You know everyone.
No, but I haven't seen Simon for donkey's years.
Really?
The last time I saw Simon, he was running around in shorts.
Was the last time you saw Simon when you were eating donkey cheese?
It wasn't. It was before donkey cheese had been invented.
Really?
Even. Yeah, Simon, 44, is principal of the commercial insurance specialist, the Hammond Consultancy, which he founded in 2002 after a successful career with Royal Insurance, Provincial Insurance and AXA. Simon says, we have 34 members, all from different trades and professions. The group is a premier business networking organisation in the area and has never been more healthy or more vibrant. My goal is to continue growing the membership, recruit more female members, enhance the already impressive number of business referrals and continue to support our social and charitable activities. We have already raised almost £15,000 for local good causes in the past couple of years. He was educated at Oakwood Park Grammar School, Maystone. Simon is married with one daughter and lives in Westwell near Ashford, and his hobbies include cricket, which is where I knew him from. And now he's the vice chairman and opening bat of Hollingbourne Cricket Club. Would you believe?
Really?
And when I last saw Simon, he was running around Hollingbourne Cricket Club in a pair of shorts, and he was wearing shorts because he'd just come home from school.
I do like a man in shorts. Did he have a little peaked cap on as well?
I'm saying no more. That was it.
Little peaked cap?
No, you don't wear peaked cap in crickets.
Don't you?
No.
Well, I'm sure they do. They wear visors.
You wear floppy hats now.
How's
Everyone
that?
Knows that.
How's that?
Yeah.
I had something else to say to you, but I've completely... Oh, I know. This is very urgent. Riverford Kent, right, at @Riverford_Kent on the Twitter. Liz and Caroline are desperately looking for a driver. They'll have to call Jobs in Kent. But they're looking for a part-time driver in the triangle of Old Wives Lee's Canterbury sort of area, Herne Bay, around there, Whitstable. Part-time driver to deliver their beautiful organic fruit and veg. Can you hurry up, because they're desperate and they're exhausted. They've got two drivers, they need another one.
Cool.
We've
had quite a bit of feedback on the Twitter about Richard's piece about headshots. We've had Stopwatch Hospitality, the guys that run hospitality over there at Brands Hatch, and they said, oh, Bernie Eccleston could do with help from Richard.
I just saw that.
Very poor selfie.
It did make me giggle a bit.
Did it?
It's a bit dangerous standing on the track like that.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Especially when you're that small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because his wife is really... Is she tall or is he just really small?
His ex-wife. She's really tall and he's really small.
And they just split up.
They split up quite some time ago.
I'm not quite
ago.
Sure what's going on with his fringe. Him and Claudia Winkleman. I don't really get
those
fringes.
He's nearly 90, you know.
So it's Claudia, isn't
yeah.
she?
Anyway, And Chris is still going on about his photograph.
Well,
he's proud of it.
He's really proud of it. He's trying to get us all to look at it.
I'm taking zero credit for that photograph. It's all down to Chris.
I've just had a very, very strange Twitter.
Hold on. Before you start that, I'm just finishing off with some of Richard's tweets here. Britt Wyatt has said, great listening to Richard talk about what he does best. He did my profile picture too.
Yes, and I've seen it. It's beautiful, Britt. Mm. Yes, beautiful. Very stunning. Someone talking about Breaking Wind, they've just started following me. It's fringe quotes, because I mentioned fringe. So fringe quotes, you can get all sorts of fringe quotes, mostly about Breaking Wind. So I won't read it out.
What's the Twitter handle there? It sounds interesting to me.
It's fringe quotes. Hang on, it's @MDWobotics. You can have a look, top one there, Rich.
Yeah, okay. Wobotics with a W.
I think this is
Paul Andrews is getting perplexed.
I think this is really nasty.
What perplexes you, darling?
Stopwatch Management has said, yeah, Snake Hips really needs a headshot.
Really?
Yeah, that's not nice, is it?
No, poor Snake Hips.
That's nothing to do with you, Paul, has it?
No, nothing. No, I don't know who Snake Hips is, but I just thought it was a bit mean.
No. Mm.
There's a networking lunch with business, and I like the sound of this. This is at the Everest Inn, Ashford, Wednesday 28th of May. So that's 3 days after my birthday, Paul Andrews, which is on
have
Monday
you got a
the 26th.
Have
yes,
you?
Yes, I've actually. The Queen is actually
is
made
it a big
it,
one.
No, it's not. Well, I'm a lot younger than you, let's put it that way. But the Queen has deemed it a bank holiday for my birthday. Well, it's has really
she?
Nice of Lee.
Did she send you a telegram?
No, she didn't. You are such a bitch today.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, 2 days after my birthday, on Wednesday the 28th of May, there's a Nepalese fusion light lunch.
Have you got a birthday on the 28th of May?
It's the bank holiday. The Queen has deemed it to be a bank holiday Monday.
Just for your birthday.
So it's Wednesday the 28th of May. And what are you going to do now? Beaujolais Boys is shut. Because you used to blag free ones and pretend that they
that's
were
true.
From you, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's true.
He used to bring me crates of booze. And I thought he was really generous, listener. But then I found out that Beaujolais Boy... a lovely offie in Tenterden Town were giving them to him to give to me, so it wasn't him at all. Anyway, there's a Nepalese fusion light lunch, which I think sounds divine, Wednesday 28th of May, and the guest speaker is Zudikas Consulting on the importance of turning into a true social business, and that's on Wednesday the 11th of June, Best Western. So two things going on there. That's for Chamber members. You need to go on the Kent Invicta Chamber, which will be on the Kent Business website, no doubt. Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. I want to tell you about...
Do you?
This. It's a bit long, and I'll try and keep it as short as possible. Dipple.
Remember that inches make all the difference.
Shut up. At Transform People, we've just completed the development of our online LinkedIn health check. Just before we have a public launch, we want to offer this to our friends to feel free to use it and share it with your network if you like it. In summary, this is what it is. This is what a LinkedIn health check is. It's free of charge, confidential, personal online guidance tool. By answering 14 simple questions, the tool will show you where you might focus in order to move towards having an outstanding LinkedIn presence. Your personal report will prioritise where you might have the greatest impact. It will also point you in the direction of some of the best thought leadership insight and ideas. So that's a brief overview of it. The link to access it is quite long, so I've actually put the link on today's show page, show number 174, so you can find the link and go and do it. I actually did the thing last night, and Richard will be interested in this based on our earlier conversation. Quite a lot of the 14 questions were about the profile and the profile photograph that you used on your LinkedIn profile and how often you changed it, upgraded it, or did things with it. So that's quite fascinating. So that's transformpeople.com is their website, and there's a full link to the online LinkedIn profiling tool on the Kent Business Radio website. So do have a look at that and check it out. We've also had an email from Natalie Bernays. It must be the Natalie Bernays show today, but she is lovely.
She is.
And she says, Sandy Togsfig's photograph is to be auctioned online for the 365 Community Photo Project. An online art auction will open online on Monday the 26th of May and will close on Sunday the 1st of June. It's a simple and easy way to buy unique artwork from local artists. The auction is organised by Kent Creative Arts as a fundraiser for their community photography project, A Year in the Life of Whitstable, part of their 365 series. Not only does it raise funds for the 365 project, it also promotes local artists by giving them an opportunity to showcase their work. All profits will go towards the organisation of A Year in the Life of Whitstable. Sandy Togsfig took a picture of oyster shells in Whitstable on the 28th of March 2013 to be part of the 365 project, which she has been supporting and endorsing. Detoxic took a picture of Sandy on the same day on Whitstable Beach. They have both offered these images for the online auction, and they will personalise them to anyone who purchases them. They will also meet in person the purchaser in the Whitstable Herne Bay area from June 2014 onwards. So if you want further information about the project, you can contact Natalie Benaigs or Emma Bowles, and you can do that by emailing them at info@kentcreativearts.co.uk, or you can look at their website, which is www.365projects.co.uk/A Year in the Life of Whitstable. So do check that out, and all of those links can be found on the Kent Business Radio website. We are going to play a bit more tunage. Yeah, and you're going to love this bit of tunage.
It's someone busty.
And then after the tunage, we're going to talk to our next two guests.
Is it someone busty?
It is
singing?
Someone a little top heavy, yeah.
A little bit country?
A little bit country, a little bit relevant, I thought.
Yeah, bit of nine to five.
A bit of nine to five.
Yeah, I like that.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin on this Tuesday, the 20th of May. That was a little bit of Dolly Parton there and a bit of 9 to 5. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show now two ladies, Andrea Starbuck and Kirstine Allen from 10 to 2. Do you get it?
I get it.
Yeah, people don't play that too often, do they?
No, not a lot.
No, just all the time. Okay. Sorry. It's very unimaginative of me. But welcome to the Business Bunker show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. When I first met Andrea, quite some time ago now, and she explained to me what she did, I just thought it was a brilliant, brilliant business idea that she had and that you guys are involved in. And the whole deal about flexible working and the way that we do things is something that I do a lot of talking about because, you know, work life is changing for all kinds of reasons. So what you guys do, I find fascinating. So why don't you tell us about what it is that you guys do?
We really help local businesses to find talented professionals to help them to grow their business.
This is Kirstine talking, listener.
And that's through accessing a local community of experienced professionals, but people who are looking to work on some sort of flexible or part-time basis, whether that be you know, through the hours of 10 to 2 or part days, part weeks, or even on a project basis, but full time.
Yeah.
So 9 to 5 could work 2 days a week.
It could work 2 days a week. Yeah, no, absolutely. And
great idea.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of the whole deal, though, isn't it? It's all about flexibility because to some extent it's not about time and to some extent it is about time. And what I mean by that is that some people are constrained by time. So if you've got a young family or whatever and you've got school runs to do and things like that, you have time constraints around what you can do. But a lot of work isn't constrained by time anymore.
No, you know, it should be about getting the results.
Exactly.
Doing the job, getting it done, around whatever time that needs to be. I mean, you don't need to be constrained by sitting in an office.
Absolutely.
From 9 to 5.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things I have, and it's a very... this isn't just a bit of fluff. I've actually always been like this, but especially so now. I've just hired 5 more people to work in one of my businesses. And one of the people that I hired said to me, what are the hours of work? I went, I don't know. What do you want to work? And they went, well, not a lot. I said, well, fine, as long as you can do all the work in an hour, you can do it in an hour. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I just want you to do the work. I don't care how long you take to do it, or, you know, what time you start and what time you finish. And that is completely immaterial. I just want the work done. And
I think most of the people that we deal with as well, working on a flexible or part-time basis, are focused.
Yeah.
So that if they have got a job to do, they are focused and getting that job done in the time frames that they've given themselves or they've been given. So
You see, I get very passionate about this because I believe it. If you look around corporate offices, especially, and people that do have 9 to 5 jobs, they'll fill up their time between 9 and 5 with doing stuff. Just to fill up their time between 9 and 5. Whereas, as you said, Andrea, absolutely, if you say to someone, I've got a project that needs doing, and people have got time constraints around them that they've got to do other things, they'll do it. They'll get in, get it done, not mess about, get it in, get it over with, get it finished, and crack on with the next thing.
And likewise, a lot of these people have maybe worked past 9 to 5 and worked long, late evenings to get a project done, and then, you know, will flex their time at some other point in the year and work fewer hours, and it's about getting the results, really.
Absolutely. Totally, couldn't agree more. So what I want to kind of talk to you about is the kind of people that you're working with, both from company points of view and from what I call candidates from a recruitment point of view, so people that are offering them their talent to work.
So, for example, could you help Riverford Organic, who are looking for a permanent part-time driver to deliver their vegetables? Is that where you go?
No, we focus more on the professional, professionals in the community. So I'm not suggesting that they wouldn't be professional in their driving skills, but, you know, probably starting at office level, going right up to board level.
Right.
And the kind of clients that we are dealing with vary in the same guise, really. Small startups, small SMEs, going up to some big corporates that we've worked with in London. So
are you allowed to mention them?
I don't
know. Big corporates, go on.
We've worked with Disney and the Grover Estate in London, so they've been big clients of ours. And then we've worked with the local accountancy firms and lawyer firms. So it really varies to what the client's requirements are. So
absolutely. It's tell us a little bit about the profile of the kind of people that you're working with. What's their background? Why are they looking to work in this particular way?
A lot of the candidates that we have are, I suppose, professionals coming back from a career break, whether that be they've had children and are looking to get back into the workplace after that period off. But increasingly, the profile of our candidates is changing quite a lot, actually. We have more and more men on our books who are looking for something different in their life, whether they are looking to set up their own business on a freelance basis, but looking for a steady couple of days a week to enable them to invest in their own business. So a real mix of people, you know, increasingly having some interest from people who are closer to retirement age as well, who don't want a full-time job but are looking for something to keep their hand in.
Sure.
Predominantly I would say we set up for the mums back to work.
Right.
But that's changing.
It's interesting. Many years ago, back in the 80s, so you guys are far too young to remember this, a chap called Professor Charles Handy wrote a series of books. He's a professor of business. And one of the books he wrote was called The Shamrock Organisation. And in there, he postulated a new way of working, which he called a portfolio career. And in those days, that came as a bit of a shock to everybody, because in the 80s, if you remember, it was all file of facts, power shoulders and all that kind of nonsense. And everybody was on to not 9 to 5 so much, but 6 a.m. to midnight type jobs. And it was all high powered. And he postulated that in the not too distant future, what we would be having is portfolio work. And a lot of people didn't believe him. Of course, it's absolutely come true, because what you're describing is what I would call portfolio work. It's people that have a range of talents, skills and abilities that they want to deploy in ways that are meaningful to them in times that are meaningful to them, under circumstances that are meaningful to them. And they may do two or three different things, or they may do the same thing for two or three different people, or they may do a mixture of those two things. Is that something that you find in the kind of people that you're dealing with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just looking at somebody's CV this morning, somebody who's previously maybe been a journalist but is now doing some consulting on social media and PR, but is also looking for different ways that she can use that experience in the past and build a portfolio career for herself using previous skills and newly learnt skills in new areas, and how she might use those journalistic skills in the new age of technology.
Absolutely. It's actually a two-way street as well, isn't it? If you get people with skills that they learn in a big professional firm, say a big London marketing agency or a big London accountancy firm or whatever, they took a career break for one reason or another, to have children, or just took a career break for another reason, and then come back into the world of work but want to work locally for a smaller firm, you've got a double-edged sword there. You have all the massive skills that they learnt working for a big firm available to someone that wouldn't normally be able to afford that kind of talent. But the upside for the person, as well as being able to work locally, is by working in a small firm, they can broaden their own talent base, because they actually get to deal with a lot more things than you would if you just work for a big corporate. Because in a big corporate, you're put in a pigeonhole and you tend to do one type of job. So it's kind of a two-way street, really. Yeah.
We have had one example of a small property investment company who were looking really for their, I suppose, their next employee. From a partnership point of view, they were looking for an administrative assistant and an accountant. They've employed an accountant, but she has previously also worked in a marketing role, and that was an area that she really wanted to expand her career. So she's now going to be able to do the accounts and get those done on a daily basis, but also bring some marketing skills with her to help them to expand their business. So they're sort of getting a double.
Absolutely, it's portfolio. Absolutely, it's a portfolio of skills and a portfolio of things to do that that works for everybody. You know, we don't want to be so compartmentalised any longer.
With the small startups as well, they like you mentioned earlier, they can't really afford somebody on a full time basis.
Sure.
So the portfolio does come for independents that want to do small consultancy roles for projects. So if they are a new startup that are just launching a new product, they want somebody to come in to do some B2B sales for them for a three-month period, then we've got lots of kind of people that are looking in that guise, as well as people that are looking for permanent flexible part-time roles.
Yeah. So you've got people that want to do projects, maybe a bit of mentoring even.
Yeah, I mean, we are... I think everything and anything you can think of, we can cater for, because we've got a great community now of talented professionals. Over 1,500 people actually registered from the local area.
Excellent.
That all want to work in some way, shape or form in a flexible part-time way. Like I say, that could be a 9-day fortnight and that's enough for somebody. And others that just want to work on projects, or people who want a steady sort of fixed permanent part-time role. So
absolutely. As an employer, that kind of thing is a godsend, especially as a small or medium-sized enterprise, because, as you say, you know, even if it's not even necessarily a question of cost, sometimes it's just a question of not being viable. You know, if you run a small business, you might not need a full-time IT director, but you need someone with some IT director skills for a period of time. And that's the deal, isn't it? You don't need an in-house corporate lawyer. You don't need an in-house health and safety guru, except you do sometimes. So to do that on a portfolio basis is a massive benefit.
HR appears to be one of those real roles where, you know, a lot of small companies, they've got 10 employees and they can handle quite a lot of the HR internally. But there comes a time and you get to a certain size where actually HR issues become more prevalent. You need to start getting things in train. You need to get your policies and procedures, etc., documented properly. But you don't need somebody full-time on that basis. A lot of it can be done internally. But
I have told this story before, and I really shouldn't because it's really terrible. But I hired a couple of people recently, about 8 or 9 months ago, and I gave them our standard contracts of employment. And one of them actually asked a question. Nobody normally asks a question about it. And they said, on page 28 of this contract, it says that we have to abide by the company's internet policy. I went, yeah. And they went, well, can I have a copy of the internet policy? So I went out to the office and all of my employees have all signed this, and I went, anyone got a copy of the internet policy? And they all looked at me and went, what internet policy? Yeah. So we
thought, Tony is now beavering away writing up one, is
yeah, it? So you suddenly think, uh-oh, copying that contract off the internet wasn't the best, smartest idea because we didn't read it all. Yeah. So there, you know, you get to a point where you do need that help and that experience where you get someone in and say, you better look through all of these and make sure we got the right stuff and da-da-da-da. But you don't need it permanently. And that's the key thing that you're telling us, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
That talent isn't needed permanently. It's needed when it's needed. And you might need it on call as well. So you might need a three-month project here, nothing, and then 4 weeks over here. Yeah? And can you deal with that level of flexibility?
Yeah, again, it comes down to the candidates that we're dealing with and what their preferred working hours are or their preferred model is and what the client is requiring. So definitely, with that kind of community, we rely heavily on referral from them as well. So I think it sounds like a great sort of size community in itself, but sometimes, quite often, if we can't help the client with the community we've got at the moment, we'll go out to the community telling them about the role that we've got. And they then refer on or tell their friends about it or they'll tell somebody else. We very, very rarely, we're very lucky, we struggle to, you know, convert something that comes in into a placement. It's great. I think more and more people are embracing this model now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, we've got this right to request flexible working coming in at the end of June.
Absolutely, yeah.
So everybody needs to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm. You might want to tell the listener a little bit about that, just in case people aren't aware.
That's a huge, huge change for the better.
Yeah, there is a new initiative, government initiative, coming into place on the 30th of June, whereby companies have to honour the right to request flexible working. There are criteria for this, so if you've been working, it used to be that you people with children under the age of 17 could ask for this model. Mm. Now it's anybody that's been working for the organisation for more than 26 weeks. Right. And there's a whole set of criteria that you can find online. What makes it a viable request. So there are certain criteria. I think there's you have to be working for more than 26 weeks and the employer has a statutory obligation to consider a request.
Yeah, they don't have to grant it.
No, and as I say, there's a code of practice for handling the requests. It has to be made in writing. You must you have to consider the request. That you give the employee feedback on whatever your decision is, and that employee can contest any decision as well. So it's something that everybody needs to look at. And like I say, it's coming up quick, 30th of June. It will be
absolutely
in place.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right. And I think you're going to see quite a few employees actually go for that, because as you guys have discovered, there's a lot of people that want to work in that kind of model. They want to work more flexibly than they currently do.
I think really more importantly, the other message to get across is the talent pool that's out there. You know, this historic phrase, brain drain, you know. Yeah. Employers spend a lot of time, effort and finances on engaging people in their employment, training them up, and they're not doing enough to retain them.
Yeah.
And this kind of model really is going to help with that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of assumptions that people move on to go and have babies or go, you know, do whatever we've just been discussing in terms of why they want to go flexibly, but lots of people are going to competitors.
Yeah.
And it's up to employees, especially with Generation Y, which is the new sort of graduates coming out. They will expect this working pattern in the workplace, and if you're not offering it, then you're not attractive.
Absolutely.
To new talent coming through. So everybody really does need to look at it seriously. I think it's been muted for such a long time, but I think with things like this initiative coming out, more and more solid steps are being made towards the flexible working pattern. And as you mentioned, technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Like most things in life, it's the technology innovations that have facilitated a move to making this more practical.
Yeah.
Because you can do all kinds of things, and you can do all kinds of things from all kinds of places now. You know, because you can work from home, you can work from on top of a mountain, you can listen to the Business Bunker Show from a mountain in Turkey
eating donkey cheese
and making cleaning your carpets by treading olive oil into them, apparently. That's an in-joke, don't worry about it.
You need to read Tales from Turkey and you'll get
you
the
need
gist.
To see the video that's gone viral
part one or part two.
Oh, who cares. But
so laissez-faire.
Yeah, but the fact is, it is now possible to do these kind of things, and there are now no reasons, or not many reasons, why you should say to people, no, we can't work this way. You know, once upon a time there were blocks to doing it. It made life difficult because, you know, you couldn't interact with other people, but you can now, because communications technology is such that we all communicate permanently 24 hours a day almost, in some respects.
And there are working hubs you can go to if you don't want to work from home.
Yeah, you could come into Fruitworks and have a dessert or whatever. Yeah, and there's all kinds of places. In fact, they're springing up everywhere. I had a chap contact me the other day and ask if I'd open a co-working space in Tenterden, would you believe?
Quelle horreur.
Yeah, it's not very likely, because I don't think that's very viable, because it's not particularly big. What you need in somewhere like Tenterden is an internet cafe rather than a co-working space. But anyway, we'll have a look at it. I want to ask you about a top-end thing now, and whether you do this, or it's something you do already, something you're thinking about, or not something that is in your business model. But it's something that I've started to come across more and more, which is non-executive directors, and especially with small and medium-sized companies who kind of double up with seeing non-execs as mentors. Because, again, it was one of those things that smaller businesses thought they couldn't get access to, so didn't bother. Is that something that you guys have come across?
I mean, it's certainly on the radar. It's not something we've done a lot of work in recently, but I think it's certainly something we'd like to develop, because looking at the talent that we've got on our books, you know, we're blown away sometimes by what people have done. And a non-executive directorship would be exactly what would allow a flexibility for a lot of these people, but also enable them to really add value to local businesses, which is what a lot of people want to do. They want to, you know, give back some of the investment that they've had in their career from large corporates, and giving that back in a non-executive directorship way would be really fulfilling, I think.
Absolutely. Cool. We could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a shout for your website, your Twitter handles, your Facebook pages, or any other way that we can get hold of you and find out more about what you guys do and how people can get involved in that, either as clients or candidates, obviously.
Well, you can contact us. Our website is www.tentwo, that's T-E-N, the digit 2, T-E-W-O.org, or email either Andrea at 10to2.org or Kirstine at 10to2.org. Our Twitter accounts are at 10to2KentK and at 10to2KentA. Please contact us if you've got any queries or inquiries about this type of work, or indeed if you've got any roles that you think would suit this kind of candidate.
Absolutely. Fabulous. Ladies, thank you so much for that. We've put all those links on the Kent Business Radio website already, so over the next week or so, people can follow up on that. Well, they can follow up forever, because they'll be there for a long, long time. But people will follow up and contact you, I'm sure, and ask you more about that. For the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. And I just want to give a big shout to Andrea, who got up very early this morning to knock up some gluten-free flapjacks for Jules.
Not just flapjacks, Paul Andrews. There's a whole cream tea in there.
Oh, well, I haven't had that. I just had a piece of flapjack, which was gorgeous.
She's made a whole cream tea.
Really? Are you going to sit there and scoff it?
After the show.
Because there's no point going anywhere, because it's raining out there now.
It's not.
It is. Oh, it's raining out there, so you'd have to sit in here and have Andrea's cream tea.
I shall watch the Kevin Can show at 3 p.m.
Kevin's not in.
Oh, who's in?
Kevin's in Berlin. Kevin's in Berlin
doing the David Bowie
exhibition. Yeah.
Oh, well, I shall sit and munch through the whole thing.
Cool.
And I'd also like to, amazing, I'd like to move in with you, because you've done gluten-free scones, which I don't know how to make, so I should be getting your recipe and putting it on the Scoff Quaff website, scoffquaff.co.uk. And a big thank you to Richard Torble for bringing me, he gave me a choice, Paul Andrews, of a bottle of Evian or a huge bottle of Maschio Prosecco Treviso.
Okay, and that threw you a massive dilemma.
It did.
You just couldn't choose, could you?
I was quite parched at the time, so the water would have gone down very well, wouldn't it, Richard?
It took a while for you to decide, didn't it?
Yeah, at least a nanosecond, I think.
Half a nanosecond.
Half a nanosecond,
is that such a thing?
Yeah, she out-accelerated the Large Hadron Collider, I think.
I'm not quite sure how I've got this reputation, Richard. I've only known you for about a year.
But he's seen the pictures. This is social media for you, Jules, darling. It's everybody's seen the evidence, I'm afraid. We've had a gazillion more tweets.
We have.
I'm just going to flash through a few of them.
Go on.
Because we've got loads of emails
talking
to read
Richard,
as well.
Talking Richard, flash.
Go Vicinity. The lovely Rob Parker has tweeted a link to BuzzFeed.
He is my one weakness.
Yeah,
you know.
Rob has tweeted a link to BuzzFeed, which is a website that currently has 33 of the most ridiculous newspaper headlines you've ever seen.
Oh no.
And guess what came in at number 4?
My Little Old Story.
Yeah, Whitstable Mum in Custard Shortage.
Yes, 2009.
Number 4 on the BuzzFeed all-time rubbishy newspaper headlines.
There's been a book about it.
Yeah,
you know.
Whitstable Mum in Custard Shortage.
Yes, you can buy a Penguin book. I think they're reduced now, actually. Mm. I blame Roger Casper, Custard Casper.
Do you?
I've got a little write-up here to read out. It's the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce, and they're hosting a business summer reception. I like the sound of this. It's a drinks party on the 5th of June between 6 to 8 p.m., and you need to RSVP if you want to attend. info@sevenoakschamber.com. Limited spaces, you need to book early for this free event at Squirrie's Estate, and they'll be showcasing their new sparkling wine. You can follow @7Oaks Chamber. Do follow that, and I highly recommend that wine. I love all wine, mostly Prosecco, but that English sparkling is absolutely divine. And I've kept some for my birthday, which is May the 26th, starting at 9 a.m.
Cool. When's your birthday?
May the 26th. The Queen has made it into a bank holiday.
Has she? Blimey, I didn't know that.
Why not join our sleep challenge? This is a 5-group session. This is for not sleeping well. Now, I get this, because do you remember I said to you last night, I went to a Whitstable Chamber of Commerce meeting and I was advising them on marketing and PR. And I came home and I was wired, absolutely wired. And my new husband had to be at his desk job in the city. And he had to get up at 5. And I was lying there, bolt upright, you know, wide awake. I could have, you know, climbed a mount.
I don't want to know what you could have done at that time in the morning. Thank you very much. Just carry on.
I could have climbed Mount something or other, Etna or Vesuvius.
No,
or
I don't think that's working for me either, Jules. Just go with it.
And then, of course, you doze off, don't you? You know you've got to get up, and you doze off at 5 a.m. Why do you do that? And then my little birds woke me chirping, my little bird Lumi alarm clock. So join the sleep challenge. It's a 5-group session. It's on Mondays, 6 to 7 p.m. at Concord House Clinic, and it starts on June the 9th. And this will help you if you're tired during the day or feel you could do with more energy. Understand better your sleep patterns. Find out what is your best sleeping environment, in a bed, I think. Mm. Put together a sleep strategy that works for you. And you can learn all sorts of switching off the mind techniques and have a restful sleep and wake up refreshed and rested. It's £60 for the whole of the sleep challenge, so that's all of them, June the 9th, 16th and July the 7th, 14th and 21st. You need to contact, the email is contact@sophrology, that's S-O-P-H-R-O-A-C-A-D-E-M-Y, sophroacademy.co.uk. And there is a phone number, which is 01227 455 855, and that's the lovely Florence Perrault.
Florence, she's been on French radio just recently.
Oh, she's gorgeous. So I highly recommend that, and I might go.
We've had a tweet in following on from Andrew and Kirstine's bit from Metis Women. Hi from Metis Women, just listening to the lovely ladies from 10 to 2. We're a women's group who want to grow, who want to find people who want to grow their businesses in Faversham and Maidstone.
Not many women want to grow, but grow their business possibly. Not with all these flapjacks in the studio.
You can find out about them by going to their website, which is Metis, M-E-T-I-S, metiswomen.co.uk.
Thank you.
So thank you for that.
And Squirrie's, so they're sponsoring the, where are they? They've gone. They're sponsoring the wine for the Seven Oaks Chamber on the 5th of June, not the venue. It is at St Julian's.
I've been to St Julian's.
Where is St Julian's, Paul
Seven
Anders?
Oaks.
And where, what were they saying? Oh, so it wasn't at Squirrie's, meaning, okay.
We've had a tweet in from Breakfast Friends, Seven Oaks, that says, afternoon, Vanilla Web and her.
They're a bit tardy, aren't they?
Yeah. Will our Seven Oaks guest speaker turn up on the 30th of May? It's the MD of Royal Mail Courier Services. I know who that is.
Who
That'll
is
be
it?
The Susanna Schofield lady, won't it? I wonder why they don't think Susanna's going to turn up. Have they seen her timekeeping before? Or is that a play on the fact that she works for the Royal Mail, do you think?
You know, I think that's Sam
trying to pull a stump with the Royal Mail, don't you? Yeah. So in my experience, Susanna is incredibly trustworthy and she will show up.
You do know that my dear friend at Ken Lloyd, that's Ken_W_Lloyd.
Charisma.
Does all of Royal Mail's, most of their graphics and also carry card as well.
Yeah.
Good. I think Sam is pulling a fast one in answer to your first question.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he was trying to make a funny.
He's usually up to something, isn't he?
He's a little monkey, isn't he?
Yeah.
We've had loads more tweets, and I can't read them all out because we haven't got time. but I'll get round to a couple in a minute. Kent and Victor Chamber, After Hours Club, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. No need to book, just show up. Where can you find your next clients? This popular and highly successful casual networking events are coming to a venue near you. Tuesday the 20th of May, that will be today, at the Abbots Barton, Canterbury this evening. Tuesday the 20th of May, that will be today, at the Ramada Encore in Chatham.
Encore.
That's the Ramada Encore in Chatham.
Encore.
The Ramada Encore in Chatham.
Encore. We could go on.
Okay.
That's worse than our pantomime joke.
Yeah. Tuesday the 27th of May.
I was going to say that.
It's behind you. Tuesday the 27th of May at the Russell Hotel in Maidstone. Wednesday the 28th of May at the Best Western Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne. Tuesday the 3rd of June at the Conningbrook Hotel Ashford. And Tuesday the 3rd of June at the Nucleus Business Innovation Centre in Dartford. To find out about these events or to book your free place, go to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events. Get along to them.
The Crime Stoppers launch, perfect film to tackle a crime that's on the rise. Crime-fighting charity Crime Stoppers has this week launched a brand new short film which aims to tackle the theft of catalytic converters. That's very hard to say after a bottle of Prosecco. Better known as CATS, the film attempts to put a humorous spin on a crime type that is actually quite serious and has caused lots of misery for millions of tourists. The Lost Cat film, made in-house by the Essex Police TV unit, follows Tom and the disastrous day he has because of his catalytic converter that's been stolen from his car. Although metal theft has... Can you not squeak when I'm reading? Metal theft has seen a steady decrease. The theft of cats... I heard that.
Did you?
..has seen a dramatic increase in the last 3 years. The charity is getting involved due to a lack of information around who is stealing them and where they're going. And you could even claim a cash reward of up to £1,000. So to look at the full film, you can go onto Crime Stoppers UK YouTube channel and you will see this, but it's a hugely important bit of police information there. So well done, guys.
Cool. Catalytic converters. Who'd have thunk it, eh?
I don't even know what one is.
Oh.
What is it?
They're those smelly things.
Yeah.
They make everything smell.
They remove the particulates from your exhaust fumes, basically.
Are they the things where boy racers make all that noise?
No. Every car for the last 20 years has been legally required to have a catalytic converter
If only
fitted.
You could say it.
Yeah, but don't even get me started, because it's like a lot of things politicians do. They insist on doing things without looking at the unintended consequences. And catalytic converters aren't quite as good as they think they are. They cure some problems but introduce others. But anyway, whatever. Every car has to have a cat and it's expensive because there are components of a cat that are very hard to find. That's why people nick them.
Barclays Bank staff helped support the local care home on the 16th of May on last Friday. So well done, guys. Yes, volunteers from Barclays Bank rolled up their shirt sleeves and helped in the gardens at Amherst Court Care Home in Chatham in Kent. And this is a specialist home for dementia-related conditions, part of Avante Care and Support. So 16 members of staff from Barclays Bank worked for the day in the sensory garden and in the newly acquired allotment. To find out more about Avante Partnership, www.avantepartnership.co.uk.
Cool. I've had another tweet from Hot Face Sources.
All right.
Who says, Vanilla Web, I know you've mentioned us a couple of times already, but could you pass on our website address? Of course I can. It's hotsources.co.uk. Hotsources.co.uk. Do have a look at them.
Sounds delicious. I look forward to having them on the Superior Show.
I've had a tweet from Lee at Ancorians Football Club.
So have I.
Yeah, he says, great show today, Vanilla Web and Jewel Serkin. Ancorians Football Club are still looking for sponsors for next season. Lee, no you're not. because I've got one for you.
Oh, really?
If Lee or Chaz or any of the folks at Ancorians Football Club would like to get hold of me at bunker@campusradio.co.uk, I have a sponsor for you.
It's like Willie, we had him on the show a couple of weeks back. Do you remember? Everyone's trying to get hold of him.
Yeah, I do. I want to sponsor the Marigold Glove. That's
remember
what I
Willie?
Want to do.
You must have heard.
No.
No, we had Willie on the show and everybody was trying to get hold of him, but nobody could. So
don't let her drag you into a little fantasy world, Andrea. I know you've not been to the show before, but the rest of us just look
she
at her blankly.
She had such an innocent little face on.
I know.
I love it. What about this Marigold Glove, then?
The Marigold's got a sponsor.
It's a starfish, really, isn't it?
Sammy the Starfish.
Yeah, or is it an octopus?
No, it's Sammy the Starfish.
Okay.
But it looks like, you know when you go and blow up a Marigold glove? That's what it looks like.
But somebody spent hours making that.
It's actually a starfish, apparently.
Okay, so...
But anyway, Lee or Chaz or any of the folks over there at Ancorians Football Club, if you get hold of me, I have a sponsor for you.
Well done. Well done, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, and we've had a tweet from Steve Jenner, who I met for the first time the other night.
Is he lovely? Is he charming?
He's a very nice chap, yes. He's a very, very nice chap. And I met him when I did a talk for the Federation of Small Business over at Dickens World last week or so.
Cane and Beer, have a curry and beer evening. It's mañana, the 21st of May, and it's with the highly rated Mughal Dynasty, 4 London Road, Maidstone, ME16 8OL. Don't delay, book your place. Email curry at cane, C-A-I-N, and A-N-D, beer.co.uk, or call them on 01732 617040. Fabulous.
I've got a tweet for you guys, but you don't have to answer this. Oh, if I tell you it's from Sam, that will start to...
But it must be about genital gel.
No. It's from Breakfast Friends in Sevenoaks, and it says, Vanilla Web, could you ask 10 to 2 Kent A and 10 to 2 Kent K, should Richard Scudamore be looking for a new job? Yes is the answer.
Yeah, no comment on that one.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to comment, yes, of course he should. You can't do
He's
that kind
right
of thing.
He's a right stirrer, isn't he, old Lee?
Yeah, but...
I thought you meant Sam.
Yeah, Sam, sorry.
Sam, you need to come and see us and get yourself a proper job.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got nothing to do, has he?
No.
But my thoughts on it is, of course he should. You can't sit in judgment of other people and tell them how to do things and find them and then do exactly that yourself and get away with it. It's outrageous. And he should be fired on the spot. That's my opinion. Right. Blimey.
Best Western, Abbots Barton Hotel, an evening dedicated to Neil Diamond. Saturday the 26th of June, 7:30, three-course dinner, which will be served at 8, followed by All the Timeless Favourites, sung by Wayne Bridal until late. So that's a fantastic one, Best Western, Abbots Barton Hotel. Great chef there, the lovely Will Britton, does a very good gluten-free brownie.
Oh.
I would say as well, on the Scoff and Quaff Superior Show, 11 to 12, we had Andy Bridal, who is a intellectual property guru and solicitor. So if you want to follow him, it's at Bridal IP, and he helps on branding for SMEs. Very, very interesting guy.
Fabulous. So,
yes.
Thank you. Well, we've reached the end of the show.
I'm still
getting tweets.
I know, they'll go on for about 4 hours.
Red Eagle Jobs has tweeted in that they're listening. Again, remember Red Eagle? They were
on
last week. Wayne.
Yeah, lovely.
Wayne and the folks over there. Thank you for that.
Yeah. He lives in Chesterfield, you know, just near me.
He does, indeed. I'd just like to say a massive, massive thank you to our studio guest today, Mr. Richard Torbal, headshot photographer extraordinaire.
Thank you. I was waiting for the clapping to stop. Thank you very much. Really enjoyed being on. Had a blast. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for a lovely Prosecco.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. I will. I'll invite you round. We'll sit on the slopes.
You're not going to share.
Don't go anywhere near a wardrobe.
Or a slopes.
Billy Dean went near a wardrobe and it took us a month to release him. Just watch it, yeah. She locked Billy Dean in her wardrobe and wouldn't let him out.
Have you seen Billy Dean, girls? He's worth looking in your wardrobe.
Oh, really?
I'll probably be safe then.
No, you're very handsome, debonair, and lovely.
Don't go near a
wardrobe.
We'll
share it on the slope.
It's just a warning. And massive, massive thank you to the absolutely lovely Andrea and Kirstine from 10 to 2. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
For
it's
the cream
been an absolute
tea.
Pleasure. And the fabulous goodies that you made for Jules and the rest
divine.
Of us. kind of almost got a look in.
We can get stuck into it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Brilliant. Thank you all for joining us on the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 20th of May. It's been an absolute pleasure to share an hour and a half with you. We will be back next week with the Business Bunker Show. Coming up later on Channel Radio Today, there's no Kevin Cann Show. Kevin is away.
With David Bowie.
He's doing a David Bowie exhibition. I don't know if you know, the Victoria and Albert Museum have had a David Bowie exhibition, and that has now gone on tour, and it's now on tour in Berlin, and Kevin is delivering that for the Victoria and Albert Museum in Berlin as we speak. But after that is the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. He will be on at 5 o'clock.
There's a queue forming already.
Yeah, and then Jonathan and Phil will be here with the Down the Pub show at 7 o'clock. If I tell you their strap line is beer, balls, burrs and boots, you'll have some idea of what the show's
refined,
about.
Very refined.
It is a bit of a lad show, but it's quite a laugh.
I also love Jamie O'Connell's, his beautiful jazz show. That's lovely on Thursday night, isn't it?
Yeah. And then at 9 o'clock, we have New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews.
New and unsigned bands. 18
new and unsigned bands. Andrea.
I was just going to say, talking about Down the Pub, you know Chaz and Dave are playing at Stag Theatre in Seven Oaks in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, are they? Yeah. We better get over there.
To that, yeah.
We better get over there. So that's a full lineup on Channel Radio. Do stay tuned for the rest of the day. But for the moment, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunkingly gorgeous Jewel Circuit.